ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 171 of the report. And this particular episode right here isn't exactly going to be like the regular episodes, man. You know, no intro music, no sound effects, no none of that. I'm doing this episode right now because I really feel like there's some things that I need to say. There's some things that need to be addressed, and I'm going to do that here on the show tonight. And in regards, listen to feedback, right? I got some listener feedback today that I kind of feel like, you know what, like I need to address this once and for all and be done with it. And that's pretty much what this episode right here is going to be. This episode is me speaking on this and being done with it. And this won't happen again, because what I don't want to do is encourage a lot of, you know, I don't want to encourage a certain segment of folks who feel like they can go ahead and just say some shit and it gets this level of attention here on the Span Report. Right. And I don't want the person that I'm responding to feel disrespectful, you know, or disrespected in any sort of way. But I feel like some shit needs to be understood. It definitely does need to be understood as to what the Span Report means, what I intend to do with this platform, and what my quote unquote agenda is. Right. So I feel like this needs to be addressed. Okay. Before I get started, I got to let you know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report podcast. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show. Respond right here on the show. Email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails. Of course, I'll reply to those emails here live on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Mr_Span is the name. So go ahead, follow me there, man. You guys know this. Go to Mr. Span. Go to www.thespanreport.com, man, for everything Span Report related. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher, the whole nine. Yeah, I'm running through this because, like I said, I just feel like some shit needs to be addressed. And I'm going to do that right here, live here on the show. So, of course, you guys know, I decided to create a Facebook, group for listeners of the Span Report, right? For those of you guys who listen to the Span Report, you like the Span Report, you want to discuss what's going on here on the Span Report, that group is for you, right? And of course, those of you who are in the group, you're in the group because, yo, I talked about it on Facebook, I asked folks, yo, are you interested? And folks was like, yeah, I want to get in this group. And then I mentioned it on the show and some more folks was like, yeah, you know what, Span, let me get in the group, you know what I'm saying? And then there was some people on Twitter like, yo, Span, I want to get in on the Facebook group. Can I get in on the Facebook group? And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, the only way anybody could even know about the group right now in this early stage is if you listen to the show and if you're following me, right? There's not a whole lot of people who don't know what the hell the Span Report Facebook group is if they haven't listened to and or followed me on social media. So everybody who asks me, can they join this group? I've been like adding everybody who just says, you know, I want to join the group. I've been adding folks, right? And so as I've been doing that, you know, people, you know, they're posting little things in the group. I've been posting, you know, things in the group. And, you know, one of the things that I've been posting has been about Umar Johnson, you know, because we've been talking about Umar Johnson here on the show for the last couple shows. Right. And this is one of the reasons why I don't want to continue to keep doing this. But we've been talking about Umar Johnson on the show for the last couple shows. And there was an article that came out on TheRoot.com where Umar Johnson has actually presented documentation of him being an actual doctor, right? And you know what? I went on Facebook and I said, you know, one of my critiques about Umar Johnson has been that he's been not very forthcoming about the documentation where he got his doctorate and how he obtained it and everything else. Now, I still have issues with some of the ways Umar Johnson articulates problems with the black community. I still have issues with his homosexuality, or not his homosexuality, but his homophobia, his espousal of homophobia, and his espousal of, you know, misogyny and what have you. I still have issues with that. But that's one critique, that's one criticism of Umar Johnson that I can no longer use. He's proven he's a doctor. I'm man enough to say that I was fucking wrong on that. Right? So I posted the article in the Span Report Facebook group, right? And so it happens in groups and whatnot, people make comments and whatever else. But there was this one comment or a few comments that kind of caught my attention, and I felt like this needed the response here. And I don't want to like extend one of the regular episodes much longer than it really has to be. So you know what? I'm going to do this solid and give homeboy his own response here on the Span Report. This will not happen again. All right. Now, this dude's name is Curtis. Curtis is a part of the Span Report Facebook group. And Curtis, as a comment on this particular article where I'm saying that I was wrong about Umar Johnson not being a doctor, Curtis decided, he wanted to kind of like, say what he felt about what I say about Umar Johnson and the likes of, say, a Tariq Nasheed and a Dr. Boyce Watkins and all of these dudes who we put in the special HOTEP unit here on the show. He decided that he wanted to kind of push back on some of the things that I say about these dudes, right? So let me go up. Let me pull this here up, man. Because I'm basically just going to, this is, it's a lot. Right, it's a lot. So I feel like I'm just gonna go line by line and state exactly where the discrepancies are. Right. So Curtis wrote in on the Span Report group, and he says, "Why don't Span just admit that no matter what Umar Johnson does, he just hates him? The thing with calling all people that want to educate and empower those that are black as hoteps and ashy is also pretty immature. In the same breath, you will say people that support Umar Johnson are the same as Donald Trump supporters." Now, one of the things about Umar Johnson and those who we put in the special hotep unit is that I don't believe that Umar Johnson is for the upliftment of all black people. Right. I've said this numerous times. If you've been listening to the show quite a bit, I've laid out plenty of examples of this, that I don't believe that Umar Johnson represents the upliftment of all black people. And part of the reason why I don't believe that he represents the upliftment of all black people is because he will make a special exception to say that homosexuals are suffering from a mental illness. That he makes exception to say that he can somehow convert homosexuals to not being homosexuals anymore. He's gone on record to say that over 90% of the people who are homosexuals because they were molested as children. That's a very dangerous stereotype to be putting out about homosexuals. Now, why is this important? And why am I talking about homosexuals? Why am I not talking about black people? As someone who would listen to Umar Johnson would say. And the reason that I make this distinction is because there are black people who are also homosexual. And there are black people who are dealing with not only being black and the discrimination that comes with being black, but they're also dealing with the discrimination that comes with being gay also. So if I'm going to be talking about the upliftment of black people, if I believe that anybody who's talking about the upliftment of black people, it got to include all fucking black people, not just a certain segment of and a few. Not just a few. It's got to include everybody. If we're going to talk about the upliftment of the people, it's got to have everybody involved. Black gay people are still black, and they deserve respect the same way that you do as a straight person here in America, right? Now, another reason why I say that Umar Johnson supporters are something similar to Donald Trump supporters. Again, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, the comparisons are right there. If you put out that, like, say, for instance, if like Donald Trump supporters don't necessarily like they think that everything negative about Donald Trump is fake news. This whole thing with Russia and Russian collusion and all of these shoes dropping about his kids being involved and having meetings with Russian officials and not documenting these meetings with Russian officials, his affinity with Vladimir Putin and not being able to speak forcefully about the corruption or the collusion that the Russians, the hacking that the Russians actually had in the election of 2016, not being able to forcefully speak on this. And then having his supporters believe that this is all about nothing, that this is all about the Democrats having lost an election and they're trying to delegitimize my election. This is all an illusion and there's nothing to it, right? And a lot of Trump supporters, despite all of this evidence, despite all of these things, like they've moved the goalposts quite a few times. The goalposts went from there was no meeting with the Russians until, well, yeah, we had meetings with Russians, but it wasn't about what y'all say it was about. And then we had these meetings with these Russians and it was what y'all say what it was about, but it's not criminal for us to do this. The goalpost continues to move. Umar Johnson supporters are much like are kind of in the same boat. Whereas when there's anything critical brought up about Umar Johnson, immediately it goes to y'all just trying to bring a black man down. Y'all don't vet these white people the same way that y'all vetting this brother. Any criticism leveled at Umar Johnson for not providing the documentation to prove that you're a doctor, any asking of Umar Johnson to prove what he's done with the monies for this school that he supposedly is trying to build. If anybody asks about that, suddenly they're becoming an agent of the man. Umar Johnson supporters are in no position to look at Trump supporters and say that y'all stupid when y'all ignore all of these things that people are saying about Donald Trump. If you're willing to ignore all these things people are saying about Umar Johnson, and a lot of this shit is coming back legitimately. So, right? That's why I make the comparison. Because there's a lot of Umar Johnson supporters who act just like Donald Trump supporters when it comes to information being presented to them that isn't necessarily flattering to the dude that they're upholding. All right. So that's why we do that. Chris goes on to say, and on Roland Martin's show, that was an ambush. Now, think about this. Umar Johnson goes on the Roland Martin show. This is after he was on the Breakfast Club. This was after social media was kind of like, you know, getting on Umar Johnson about some of the things that he said on the Breakfast Club, right? Umar Johnson, having been booked on the Roland Martin show, had to have known what the gist of that conversation was going to be, what he was going to be asked about on this show, right? Now, if anybody who has listened to Roland Martin show, because I don't actually get a chance to watch Roland Martin show, I'm at work when that's going on. Sometimes I listen to it as a podcast when it's uploaded and everything else. Sometimes I listen to it. But if you're familiar with News One Now, you also understand that, yeah, there's also panelists on this on the show every day. A lot of times there's a conservative, there's a liberal, and then there's sometimes an independent person. And Roland Martin has a tendency to talk over his guests quite often, right? Umar Johnson was not ambushed on that episode. Umar Johnson, as a matter of fact, if you actually take a look, because you go on to further say that Umar Johnson didn't have a chance to speak. If you think about it, like if you go back and you watch that video, it's an 18 minute long video. The first 10 minutes of that video is Umar Johnson and Roland Martin. And Roland Martin asking him questions and Umar Johnson having a chance to articulate his answers. The very first 10 minutes. That was no ambush. And then you juxtapose. And then on top of that, when you get towards the end, towards when the panel discussion is finally happening, he comes right out and he calls one dude a coon, and then he totally dismisses everything this one the woman panelist was saying. He asked for example, she gave it to him, and he straight up dismissed him. That was no ambush. He went on the show knowing that he was going to be asked some tough questions about who he is and what he said. And if he didn't know, that wasn't like, if he did not know, then shame on him for not. He had to know. He had to know, right? So it says, but again, you have issues with guys like him. This is, we're back to what Curtis is writing on Facebook. He said he could say 1 + 1 = 2 and you would somehow disagree with that. I don't disagree with plain common sense. One of the things that I've said about Umar Johnson, and if you listen to episode 170, 169, and every other, what I've said was Umar Johnson has a tendency to say some things that make sense so that he can mix in his bullshit. There's a lot of things that Umar Johnson says that make sense. As a matter of fact, some of the things that Umar Johnson says, nobody's disagreeing with him on. Nobody is mad at the projected upliftment of black people or the black family. Nobody's mad at that. Nobody's saying, no, we shouldn't promote that. But there's a segment of folks who think that, well, because he says this, then it somehow negates all this fucked up shit he said also in that message. And that's not how this rolls, at least not with me. At least not with me. I'm not going to somehow yada, yada, yada the bullshit because, yeah, it was a couple trinkets of shit like I did agree with. That's how I am. Okay? That's how I am. And as you listen to the show, man, as for those of you who continue to listen to me, like, understand that, yeah, the Span Report is like, yo, Span's opinion on a lot of shit. Like, some people like my opinion, some people don't. It is what it is. I'm not under any illusions that everybody's going to agree with everything I say on this show or on this mic, nothing. Never been under that illusion. But when it comes to mixing in the bullshit with the real shit, Umar Johnson is very good at that. And my point is, I need people to pay attention to, yeah, some of the shit he's saying is bullshit. Uplifting of the black family aside, some of this other shit he's saying is kind of fucked up. And instead of allowing some of that fucked up shit to go past, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. Let's see. Curtis goes on to say that, I agree with everything Umar Johnson says? No, I don't. But Span, this is said with all respect. You do come off real preachy at times on your podcast. I've said this. On the show, I've said this, that yeah, man, I know I can come off preachy on the show. I've said this repeatedly, and I said that this can sometimes grate on people. I've said that, like, yo, I know sometimes my friends listen to me like, oh, here this nigga go. I get that. It's one of my personality quirks, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that. Let's see. You kind of have that attitude that your opinion is completely correct. And what you disagree with should be checked. Now, do I have a strong opinion? Yes, I do. Do I think that my opinion is the only opinion everyone should have? No, I'm open to learning. Part of the reason why, like if you listen, like if you've been around for like the years that I've been doing this show, because I've been doing this show for a while, you've seen some of the arc of the change and like how I think about things. So an opinion that I once had, with better information, I may not necessarily still hold that opinion. And it's shown over the course of this show, man. Some of the things that I used to say, like back in, shit, I don't know, let's go back 2013. Some of the shit that I was probably saying then, I'd cringe at now. I would absolutely cringe at now. Like, man, I can't believe I let that shit come out of my mouth. There's a lot of shit that I don't fuck with that I used to say then, that I don't fuck with now. So I'm not under any illusions that, yo, my opinion is the end all be all. No, because my opinion has changed with different information and by listening to people who are smarter than me, who have been able to put me on and make me look at and think of other perspectives that I hadn't considered before, which is sort of kind of what I try to do with this show, is to make people consider and think about shit that they probably hadn't considered before. Especially when I'm talking about sexual harassment or men's attitudes towards sexual assault or street harassment or homosexuals and their fight for equality. A lot of people aren't innocent. Like, when you sitting up with your homies, man, a lot of times we not having these discussions, man. A lot of homies ain't sitting up, like, having that, like, yo, gay people should be married. Sometimes, like, they just, it's just not what's, it's just not what's popping. It's not what's going on. With my platform, I've chosen to highlight a lot of these things, right? So you say, you kind of had that attitude that your opinion is completely correct and that you disagree, what you disagree with should be checked. Mad at the Breakfast Club for having them because you in particular don't like him. Now, here's the thing, and this is, I've said this here on the show. The problem with having a voice like that on the Breakfast Club and not checking some of the bullshit is that it lets other people believe that this bullshit is somehow legitimate, right? So if the host of the Breakfast Club don't say, well, wait a minute, that right there sounds questionable, and dig deeper into that discussion and figure out, how did you come to that conclusion? Why are you coming to that conclusion? And why is this important for everybody else to hear? If they don't do that, then they failed in their job, man. Now, I say that if they don't say anything, it's sort of like they agree with it, because, yeah, to a certain degree, yeah, they do agree with some of that stuff. And I believe that some of that stuff is dangerous. Some of that stuff is harmful to other people. It can be harmful to other people. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, man, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So if I allow, or if other people allow for, if we allow for bullshit to just go along unchecked, then it makes it harder for equality to happen, right? Now, I'll tell you this, man, and I've said this on the show before. People come into a certain understanding in their own time. Some people come into that understanding because they don't want, you know, like, because they choose not to. Like, they don't come into the understanding because they choose not to. And then there are others who don't come into a certain understanding because they're not in a position where they're allowed to. Right? They're not allowed to think outside of what they've already been taught. And some people aren't, they're allowed, but they choose not to think outside of what they've been taught all of their lives. So some of these things that we talk about here on the show, although everybody might not necessarily agree, there comes a time where, like, it might spark an idea. It may spark a thought. It may spark like, you know what? I never thought of that. I never even put those two together. In much the same way that it happened for me. Like, again, like I said, I've been on this show probably about 6-7 years. There's some things that I used to say that I don't necessarily agree with now. And it's because I was listening to people that were smarter than me. It was because I was open to ideas that I wasn't necessarily open to before. And it was because I was willing to listen. My mind was changed on a lot of things. The way I understand things, the way I look at things, and the way I'm aware of certain bullshit that I wasn't necessarily aware of before is because I was open to listening to other voices that I wasn't privy to before. And when those, like, in an instance where somebody is talking about the effeminization of the black male coming from weed, or that homosexuality is a result of people being molested as kids. Now, understand what this means. When you say that someone is a homosexual because they were molested as kids, that's a dangerous motherfucking stereotype to be putting out about homosexual people. And it further puts them in a position to where people are out here ready to do physical harm to gay people at the drop of a hat, bro. You hear this shit all the time in your conversations with the homies. People are ready to do physical harm to gay people. People will say, if my son turns out gay, I'm going to whoop his ass until the gay is up out of him. I've heard these conversations, bro. Black men having these conversations. If my daughter is gay, I'm going to disown her. She's no longer my daughter. Putting black children in much more precarious situations, because some of these kids are black. They're not all white homosexuals. some of these kids are black and they're dealing with these issues. And if you never thought about this, it kind of speaks to the privilege that you never really had to. You never really had to think about this shit. Nobody's sat down and talked with you about this shit. Nobody's even probably even presented it to you in a way where like you feel like, yo, man, that is kind of fucked up. Now, people can say all the time, well, like, yeah, I have no problem with gay people. I don't have no problem with them getting married, yada, yada, yada. But it's always a but attached to it. And when that but is attached to it, it means some bullshit is sure to follow. Right? So that's why when folks like this get on the Breakfast Club and a lot of their rhetoric goes unchecked, it's dangerous because it normalizes hate speech. It normalizes problematic behavior. To get on mainstream media and to spew some of these things is normalizing this to the rest of the country. And it makes it harder for marginalized folks who are dealing with this issue to go about their daily lives. And that's why I think that shit should be checked. That's why I say shit like that. You said asking them to check things that they say because you don't agree with those things. In one breath, you said the host of those shows agree with him. So if they agree with him, why would they question him? And the point that I was making was that they do agree with him. And that's why I didn't go checked. That's why they didn't check it, because they agree with the shit that he was saying, which is still dangerous for a lot of marginalized people. Excuse my grammar mistakes because I'm using voice chat to write this entire response. One more thing, no matter how long you spend on your podcast trying to change people's minds, the odds are you're not going to change those minds, just like I'm probably not changing your mind. Now, you know what? That may very well be true. I might not be changing your mind, but that's not to say that somebody else who's been listening to me may not have had their mind changed in much the same way that mine was. See, that like we fall into this quite a bit. Like, we think that just because like it's not happening for me, that it might not necessarily be happening for nobody else. It's a false equivalency, like a motherfucker. Like, you ever hear people say, well, you know, Black Lives Matter out here protesting, man, but I don't ever see nobody out here protesting when it's like when Ray Ray shoots Pookie and all this other shit. And it's like, because you didn't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. In much the same way that just because you don't see oxygen doesn't mean the shit doesn't exist. That you're not sitting here breathing the shit up and down all day long, 24/7. You don't see it, but you know it's there. So when I say that it's a possibility that somebody's mind may be changed, and one of the reasons why I do this show is that, yeah, somebody's mind might be changed. Yeah, that's part of the reason why I'm doing this shit. Yeah, I like getting on the mic. I like giving my opinion. It takes a big ego to get on the mic and speak and think that you're important enough to where people are going to listen to. Yeah, I get all of that. But at the same time, just because it's not happening for you does not mean that it's not happening for somebody else. And I'll be goddamn if I don't do what I do because your mind wasn't changed, as if it's supposed to just stop with you. Right? Now, if you came with better information, if you came with something that was compelling, then my mind could be changed in the ways that it has been over the course of these last 4 or 5 years. It could be. Could be. But the information has to be compelling. The information has to be credible. So there's that. He goes on to say, I disagree on a ton of things you talk about, yet I still listen to your podcast, and I appreciate you listening. But you're not supposed to just agree with everything I say. That's not the point of the Spam Report. You don't have to agree with everything I say. It's unrealistic for anybody to agree with anything anybody says. You don't agree with your mama on everything she says. You don't agree with your pastor, your father, your uncle, your brother, your cousin. You don't agree with nobody on 100% of shit. I'm a dude on the internet with an opinion, bro. Of course you're not gonna agree with everything I say. And I appreciate you listening. You don't have to. And I appreciate anybody who does listen, because they don't have to. But the idea that I'm under the belief that everybody has to agree with what I'm saying, or fuck them. Nah, that's not how we roll here. That's not how we roll here. You go on to say that I disagree, but the preachy part does get on my nerves. Well, I mean, that's part of the show, man. It's part of the show. And how you make stuff up and slant objects out of control to fit your agenda is ridiculous. Now, this is the part where I really took exception to, because that calls into question my integrity. And I don't make shit up here on this panel report, man. I don't make shit up at all. You say I had an agenda. And I actually asked a question on Facebook about this. I asked him. I said, well, you know what? Initially, I was going to respond to this on Thursday's show. But I said, you know, I really do want to, I want to understand. I want to know what you think my agenda is. Right? And Curtis responded on as to what he believes my agenda is. Right? So Curtis says, I listened to, well, hold on. This is, hold on, because this is something separate. I actually read this. This came later. But as a response to me asking what my agenda is, Curtis wrote in and said, I don't think you are 100% bona fide coon. Curtis doesn't think I'm a 100% bona fide coon. The fact that he probably thinks I'm a coon is funny to me, right? But he says, you say things because you do say things that are good for black people, but I think you get distracted. You go way overboard for the homosexual agenda, right? Now, I've already articulated that the reason that I speak about homosexuality and the homosexual plight and things like that is because I believe in equality for all people. Now, as someone who believes in equality for all people and the upward mobility of all people to not be impeded to live their lives as they should and as they should and as freely as they want to, so long as they're not harming anybody else. That's really what it's about. Live your life unimpeded, so long as you're not harming anybody else. That's the agenda, right? But you say I go way overboard with the homosexual agenda, and I get distracted with the homosexual agenda. He says, I'm fine with homosexuals. I believe they should be able to get married, and I believe the majority of homosexuals are born that way. But this thing you got where you try to mix their movement with the black movement is where I think you go wrong. Understand this, man. There are black homosexuals, and if you don't include black homosexuals with the black movement, then you're not talking about all black people, and you, yo, that don't, I don't rock with that. I don't rock with that. There's a, like, just because there's an issue that you don't necessarily have to deal with does not mean that that issue isn't important. If we're going to talk about the upliftment of black people, why not all of them? Why should we leave them to the side? Why should their plights and why should their issues be cast aside because I don't have to deal with it? Why should it? If push comes to shove, a white homosexual can hide being a homosexual. I cannot hide being black in America. Well, what about the black homosexuals in America who are dealing with being both black and homosexual? It's not about just white homosexuals and their fight for equality, because a lot of times, yo, their fight for equality isn't the same as what it is for black homosexuals and transsexuals and what have you. It ain't the same. Yeah, they got the right to marry, but there are other issues that are going on with black home, like the black LGBTQ community. There's a whole lot of transsexual people who are being killed in America at a much more disproportionate rate than anybody else in the country, because of the fact that they're transsexual and they're black. So are we supposed to just dismiss it because we don't necessarily, because you don't necessarily agree with how they live their life or who they are as human beings? That's not a distraction, bruh. It's part of the movement. It's part of the movement. And if there's anybody who's going to put themselves up is saying that they speak for black people and the upliftment of black people, then damn it, you better be including everybody in that black movement. That includes black women. That includes the LGBTQ community. You can't be for black people's upliftment if you're only talking about a segment of the black community. And a lot of times when it comes to people like Tariq Nasheed, when it comes to people like Umar Johnson, when it comes to people like Boyce Watkins, a lot of times, man, yo, that upliftment is only reserved for black men. There's a whole lot of these dudes who would much rather just trade places with white dudes and leave everything fucking else the way it is. So long as they the ones in charge and everybody else is pretty much in the same spot that they were in the beginning. And if you're for the upliftment of black people, then goddamn it, that ain't how this goes. It's not how it goes. So, you know, earlier you was talking about how I misconstrue or I slant or I make shit up when I talk about these dudes, right? So we're talking about Umar Johnson and the school, and folks were asking Umar Johnson about monies for this school. One of the biggest criticisms about Umar Johnson is the fact that, yo, he's been out here raising his money. I call him a professional fundraiser. He's been out here raising all this money, and people have been asking him for information about what's going on with the money. What are we doing about the school? How is this process moving forward? There was one lady who called Umar Johnson on a radio show, and she asked him about the accountability about the money. Like, yo, where is this money going? How is the money being spent? How much money has been raised so far? This is the response that she got from Umar Johnson, and how the radio station decided that they were going to kick this woman off the air because she was asking this of Umar Johnson. Let me pull this video up so you can hear this shit for yourself. So, because I want this to be understood, I don't have to make a motherfucking thing up about any of these cats. Not a goddamn thing. So where is it? I had this pulled up. Here we go. Check this out.
And how do we know how much money you bring?
Because I tell people.
So you don't have any accountability system. You were just talking about accountability, so I was wondering about your accountability system. Do you have anything in place, like a PayPal account or anything that people can look at to see that what has been raised already?
Boys is building a school for young black men. Hopefully the school will be built in Virginia. If not, it says it'll be either Detroit or Chicago. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, understand, how did he respond to that sister when she was just simply asking him, yo, what's up with the money? Where's the money going? How's the money being spent? What's the accounting? And the only thing Umar Johnson could tell that woman is, because I tell people. That's not real accountability. Especially if people are supposed to be trusting you with sending their kids to your school for them to be educated. People have every motherfucking right, if they donated money to Umar Johnson, to find out, yo, what's happening with the money that I put forward towards this school that you say you're supposed to be building. That was the reaction that he gave to a woman who was just simply asking him about accountability for the monies that they've been donated to him. Right now, he came on Roland Martin's show and said it was $750,000. The only reason we even had that total is because Umar says that's what he's gotten. We don't know. Nobody who's donated to him knows how far along this fundraising process is, or how far along, how much money he's actually been the recipient of. Because the only thing that they have is Umar's word. When it comes to business, sometimes your word ain't sufficient. It ain't sufficient. So there was another instance where Umar Johnson was talking about fundraising for this school, and his attitude about the people who were even giving him money is fucked up. Okay, so check this out. This is Umar Johnson talking about how trifling black people are because he doesn't feel they've given him enough money, even though he's out here asking them for money. Check this out.
That's what we're working towards. So far, we raised $250,000. I'm gracious, but I'm not content, because I know y'all got a lot more to give me than some $250,000. When Darren Wilson killed Michael Brown, white folks gave him $300,000 in 3 weeks for his defense. And Dr. Umar Johnson is trying to build a state-of-the-art school for black boys that y'all all know I need. And after 6 months, I only got $250,000. Trifling ass black people.
All right, so is the school something that he needs, or is the school something that the kids need? Black people are trifling because they only gave him $250,000. Only $250,000. I know y'all got it. Y'all need to come up off it. Y'all know I need it. This is the dude who people had to shame damn near to put out the, yo, yeah, he's a legitimate doctor. This is the dude, right? That's not it, though. That's not it. Here's Umar Johnson talking about black people who choose to give him money, who want to give him money. Here's him talking shit about him again. Check this out.
So we doing okay. PayPal sabotaged us, y'all. Let me tell y'all PayPal sabotage. I called PayPal before I started using PayPal for the school fundraising. And I didn't want to use PayPal, but lazy Negroes kept talking about why I just can't make an online donation. Take your lazy ass to the post office and get a spam.
Okay. Now, they want to give you money, and they want to be able to, like, yo, I'm gonna put it to you like this. I do all of my shit online. I pay my bills online. I pay my mortgage online. I pay all of this shit online. I don't have time during the day to stop and go to the post office and go get a stamp. I don't have time during the day to stop and go get a money order or a check or write a check out and mail that shit off. A lot of times, yo, I'm banking from my phone. I'm banking from my computer. I'm getting shit done where I can get it done. You're going to try to shame black people for asking you to make it convenient so that they can give your trifling ass some money. This is the attitude that Umar Johnson comes in when people are giving him money. So not only that, not only is he antagonizing. Oh, shit. Come on, Google. Stop that. Not only is he antagonizing the people who are supposed to be giving him money, the people he's begging for to give him money. He's antagonizing them. But then on top of that, when he asks for the accounts of what the money, how much money do we got and how much further we got to go and where is this money going and how are we spending this money and asking for simple documentation of these things, Umar Johnson gets an attitude. Umar Johnson says a woman is a reactionary for even asking the question. I don't have to make shit up about this dude, bruh. He's the most requested scholar. He's got the more YouTube videos than anybody on any scholar in the world. Yeah, he said a lot of shit. A lot of fucked up shit about the people who he's asking for money so that he can get a goddamn school. A school that we have yet to see yet. School we have yet to see. Right? You know, let's see. Well, let me go back. Let me go back because Curtis has some more things to say. Where is it? Okay, he said, but you got this thing where you try to mix in that movement with the black movement is where I think you go wrong. If push comes to shove, a white homosexual can hide being a homosexual. I cannot hide being black in America. Comes off as a black man that don't want other black people to become too intelligent about the issues. How in the fuck are you getting that from me, dude? How are you listening to this show getting that from me? I have nothing but I want nothing more than for people to be more informed on what's going around them in the world. Nothing more than that. I speak about world issues. Hell, I speak about a little bit of everything, dude. Music, politics, culture, like general news. I speak about a lot of shit. And most of it, like I'm speaking on, like, yo, some of this is to keep people informed. Like, I was speaking on net neutrality before a whole lot of motherfuckers I know was. And how important it was for net neutrality and what it meant for your internet to be free and accessible so that you can get a show like this one. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to get it. That it can continue to be free, that kind of shit. A lot of people might not necessarily watch the 6 o'clock news. They might not necessarily watch the 11 o'clock news, but they may listen to me. And they may get some of that news about politics from me. Not everybody, but it may happen. So the idea that I don't want people to be intelligent and I don't want people to be informed, that's a laughable motherfucking, I really can't believe that that's what you get listening to me here on this show, man. I don't. Now, some of these things that like Umar and Boyce Watkins and Tariq Nasheed, these guys say, some of this shit I don't believe is all that intelligent. And I listen very critically because a critical mind doesn't necessarily believe everything that somebody says. Like I said, you can be critical even of me. Fact check what I say. I've said that repeatedly on the show. You can fact check what I say. Right? You're doing, maybe this is your attempt to do this now, is to fact check me. But you can do that here. You don't have to believe everything I say. It says, if it's like you're fine with crumbs, with the crumbs you get from white people, and you really don't want black folks to try to really rise up. Truly rising up may be a little too dangerous for your taste. So you're comfortable. I'm comfortable when I'm speaking about injustices every motherfucking day. When I'm speaking about Black Lives Matter and the police gunning down black folks with impunity. When I'm talking about my own interactions with the police and how I was scared for my fucking life when I really should not have been. When I'm talking about women dealing with abusive dudes, when I'm talking about our need to educate young black boys on what the meaning of consent means so that they don't find themselves in a position of an R. Kelly or a Bill Cosby and they're being brought up on charges, or Nate Parker, where they're being brought up on charges of taking it when they didn't have the right to. Educating and speaking to and bringing light to issues that sometimes a lot of brothers ain't really speaking on, especially in the neighborhoods. Yeah, you may get it in podcast circles, bro. It's not, these conversations aren't happening every motherfucking where. The idea that you think that I'm comfortable with the white man's crumbs and I don't want black people to rise up is bullshit. I'm going to just call that what it is, man. It's flat out bullshit. And I can't believe that you listen to this show and that's what you get. And that's what you get. So you're comfortable. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's what it's looking like. Almost wish I can get on the mic and talk to you about these situations, but I'm on the West Coast. This type of stuff doesn't really get my point across effectively. Well, check this out. I do this show Sundays and Thursdays, man. I've opened up the phone lines where folks can call this show in live. You've had that opportunity to do that. The phone line is 313-288-0485. I believe that number is on the podcast notes. That number is in is repeated on the show often. Like, if you really wanted to get on here and get on the mic and say what you felt, you have plenty of options to do that. You've chosen not to. You went this route. And this is how you're being responded to. You could call the show live. I posted in the group, yo, I'm going live on the show. I told you, hey, I'm going live on the show. I don't see you here. I don't see you here. So, yeah, but you know what? He actually had more to say, yo. He actually had more to say. So here's some more, man. Curtis went on to say, man, Antoine Span, because that's my name. I listened to your entire episode 169 and I was floored by your disrespect and how you came off as angry, because I was, and I had some alcoholic beverages up in me. As a matter of fact, if you listen to episode 170, I kind of spoke about how I wasn't necessarily happy with the response that I did give. How I let Tremaine and what he said get to me to the point where I was upset and angry, and my response should have been as measured as the response I'm giving you tonight, right? You say to let you know when you're wrong, and when somebody does, you cuss them out, calling them ashy and stupid motherfuckers. Now, you also have to understand that it's wild to me that you would listen to that and not understand that, yo, it's very disrespectful. Excuse me. It was very disrespectful to call me a jealous broad. How many people are you going to allow to call you a jealous broad to your face and you not get upset about it? Like, you're a man, right? You know, you talk about, you know, being black man in America. Like, yeah. How often are you going to allow that level of disrespect to be leveled your way? I doubt very seriously that you would allow somebody to call you a jealous broad and you not get upset, bro. I doubt very seriously that you would allow that. I doubt very seriously that you would allow somebody to talk about your relationship with your father as if that somehow colors your critique of somebody, when every critique that you've made are things that are documented. Every critique that I made of Umar Johnson, of Tariq Nasheed, of Boyce Watkins, these things are documented, bro. Hold on a second. What is this? Oh, you're responding to me now. It says, come on now. I never said you make up everything. I actually didn't know that, huh? I'm actually here. Good to see you here, man. Good to see you here. Curtis is actually responding to us live now. I'm reading exactly the words that you said in the Facebook group, man. I'm not making anything up here now. I'm reading exactly what you're saying here in the Facebook group. It also says, he says, back to my points on the subject. Seems like what you'd like to do is take these guys, Tariq, Boyce Watkins, and Umar Johnson, and twist their words to fit your agenda. Again, my agenda is the upliftment of all people. So if these three dudes get on the mic or get on TV or get on somebody's radio show and say they're for the upliftment of all of black people, and it doesn't include black women and homosexual or the LGBTQ community, then damn it, they're not for the upliftment of black people, because those people are included amongst black people. Bottom line. Bottom fucking line. I don't have to twist their words, man. They say the shit all the time. As a matter of fact, you bring up Boyce Watkins, right? One of the biggest critiques I have about Boyce Watkins is that Boyce Watkins perpetuates this notion of respectability politics, and that if only black people acted a certain way, if black people presented themselves a certain way, if black people were just a little bit better in their presentation, then somehow white folks are going to respect you, right? Bill Cosby peddles a lot of that. Black people have to act a certain way. We have to look a certain way. And if we did these things, then white folks will respect us. And then they conveniently forget that Medgar Evers was gunned down. Here's Medgar Evers, who was speaking about the upliftment of black people, found himself at the barrel of a gun, a white supremacist gun. Medgar Evers is out here wearing a suit and tie. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., gunned down, wearing a suit and tie. No matter how you present, no matter how articulate you are, no matter what your position in life, that doesn't necessarily translate into white respect for you. Charles Payne is finding that out right now. Charles Payne gets on the mic. He gets on television, on Fox News, and espouses that exact same respectability politics bullshit. And Charles Payne is dealing with, right, what is he dealing with right now? A sexual harassment claim from Scotty Neal Hughes on Fox News. His being adherent to respectability politics didn't save him from that shit. Now, if you believe that I'm making this up, here's Dr. Boyce Watkins saying this exact shit. Hold on. Let me pull this up. No, this isn't the video. Where is it? Here we go. Check this out.
This is why I'm not going to watch the show Empire. This is why I probably won't support many projects by Lee Daniels. I did go see Precious, which was about the most depressing movie I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the movie was just like, seriously? I mean, if I'm a white person, I've never seen a black family before, I'm going to think black people are the most screwed up group of people in the history of the world. I'm going to be like, these black people are insane. Because Precious, literally, it was almost like this little girl is going through life and the whole world is like crapping on her the entire time. And don't get me wrong, we know that these abuse stories do exist, but there are also other stories in our community that exist. There are uplifting stories that exist. There's love that exists. Everything's not always about hate and violence and thuggery and coonery and this this silliness that we end up seeing portrayed of ourselves in media.
All right, now the interesting thing that he had to say there was that if I was a white person and I never seen black people, I would think black people were the craziest people on this earth. And my argument to that is we got to stop giving a fuck about how white people are going to view us and just be us. And just be us. What's wrong with that? That's why I say that respectability politics is bullshit. White people will find whatever reason they can to decide you're not worthy of being treated with respect. We see this every day. No matter what station in life you're in, white people will find a way to make sure that you're put in your motherfucking place if they deem so. So this idea that if you act a certain way, if you look a certain way, if you project yourself a certain way, then it's somehow going to make you different from all these other black folks. Yo, man, I got a newsflash for you. That ain't how it rolls. It's not how it's going to go down. Another thing that Curtis had to say, as a matter of fact, even going back with Boyce Watkins when it comes to that homosexuality shit, right? Because you seem to have an issue with me, kind of championing the fact that I think homosexuals should be treated in much the same way that straight people are treated. Boyce Watkins had this to say about gay marriage and the actual victory that homosexuals and gay people had when they finally had the right to be married in America.
The person said, "This is a great step for humanity." And I said, "Okay, I agree. It's important for equal rights. I have no problem with gay marriage. Again, my position is that when it comes to gay marriage, I just don't care because no gay person has ever asked me to marry him. So it's not a big deal to me. I think all opinions have to be respected, but that's where I stand on the issue. It's not a big deal to me. But what I did..."
So even right here, he says all opinions should be respected. Would he respect the opinion of a white man or a Ku Klux Klan member who believes that he should be hung from a tree? Would he believe that the opinion of a white man who believes that he's less intelligent and that he knows less about money than he portrays himself to be legitimate? See, this is the thing about, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, they fall into this is just my opinion. It's my opinion. It's like, yeah, you're entitled to that. Nobody has to adhere to it, though. Even with me. Nobody has to adhere to it. But to say that every opinion should be respected is, to me, bullshit, especially when that opinion comes at the detriment of everybody else or some other people or a marginalized group. Those opinions should not be respected. Those opinions should be mocked. Those opinions should be made fun of. Everybody who has an opinion that marginalizes another group of people should be made to feel fucking stupid for having said opinion. Bottom line, that's how I roll.
I disagree with what I took issue with was this person sort of celebrating gay marriage as if that is just the biggest civil rights issue in the history of the world. No, a big civil rights issue is the end of slavery. A big civil rights issue was the end of Jim Crow. A huge step for humanity in terms of civil rights would be the end of mass incarceration that has affected millions of families and caused millions of children to grow up without their parents.
Now, he attributed this victory for gay people, which also includes black gay people, for them to get married. He says, "Yo, that's not a big civil rights victory." Like, as if he's the determinant of that. He doesn't have to deal with that issue. He has never been told he couldn't get married to anybody. He has never been told that his benefits towards his spouse couldn't be transferred to them because he was in a same-sex relationship. He has never been told that his will, he couldn't will things to his same-sex partner because his state doesn't allow for that to happen. So for him to say that, like, yo, it's not as big a deal as these other things when he's not dealing with those issues is bullshit. You can't tell somebody else that their experience and their fight for equality to have the same fucking rights as you do doesn't mean that their victory is less than yours. It's bullshit. It's bullshit, man. Boyce Watkins said all opinions should be respected. Do you listen to his broadcast, Curtis? All right. What else did Curtis have to say on this, man? What else did Curtis have to say? Let's see. When actually he teaches the complete opposite, All he talks about is black people opening their own businesses. Well, we've listened to him talk about respectability politics, and we've listened to him say that homosexual marriage is not a big a deal. So that's not all he talks about. Spend money with their own community, support black banks so that they can say fuck white people and not need them for anything. Kind of what the Asian communities do. He says, as long as you depend on white people to provide your livelihood, you will never truly be out of the predicament you are in. How did you turn that into respectability politics? I did not turn that into respectability politics. I turned what he said on these very few videos that I showed you into respectability politics, because that's exactly what the fuck he was espousing. That's what I did. Is it hate or just spewing BS to those who don't already know Watkins? Like, again, I took what he said and responded to it. I don't have to make up shit. That's what he said. And I said what I said. I don't have to make up nothing for you, bruh. I don't have to do that. One of the things you have to understand about this whole podcasting thing, man, people can point out bullshit real quick. They know when you lying to them, bruh. That's why when I ask people, I'm like, yo, if I'm wrong on this, let me know. Right into the show. Call in to the show. Let me know where I was wrong on this. And people can tell if it's bullshit. You know, a lot of times, man, they stop listening. They don't come and listen to your show no more. They're like, yo, man, I don't believe anything this dude's saying. That's not what's happening here. Let's see, what else? It says, is it just BS? Are you just spilling BS to those who don't already know Watkins and prevent them from learning from him? Now, Tariq, you spoke on the Negro bedwitch term. Again, you took that, twisted it, and pretty much lied to your audience of what he meant. Now, nigga, for those of you who are familiar with Tariq Nasheed, Tariq Nasheed has been, like, he's coined the phrase Negro bedwitch. And he took the phrase Negro bedwinch to talk about black women who choose to be with white people or be with white men. They date white men. Right? Now, if you understand where he took what happened with Negro slave women who, under the pressures of being owned by white people and being subjugated by white men in chattel slavery, not having a choice in the fact that they were having to have sex with these dudes. They called them bed wenches, right? These women never had a choice. They were being raped in that moment because they didn't have a choice in the matter whatsoever. Tariq Nasheed then takes that term of black women being raped and then uses that against black women who decided they don't marry a black man. He's done this. I don't have to make this up. Anybody who's listened to Tariq Nasheed knows this. The show Scandal is a pretty big example of that. They use that show Scandal all the time to talk about Negro bedwitches and Kerry Washington being a Negro bedwitch because she's being a whore for the president of the United States in this fictional show. Any black woman who is publicly with a white dude, who marries a white dude, he's used that term against them. I don't have to make this up, man. Anybody who's listened to and followed that dude knows this. If you watch this dude's Twitter, you know this. I don't follow him on Twitter no more. The nigga blocked me, right? The nigga blocked me, but he said these things repeatedly. I don't have to make this stuff up. These are the things that he said. He says now, Tariq has said many times he has no issue with anybody dating any race they want. That term Negro bedwitch is only used on black women who marry white because they hate their own. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. And if he didn't have any problem with them dating any race they want, then the term would be totally fucking unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. He's used this term towards black feminists. Black women who speak up on behalf of other black women. He's used this term quite a bit. And it's not just about whether or not they hate black men or they speak bad about black men. He uses that term quite frequently for black women who are engaged in interracial relationships, man. And anybody who's followed that dude on Twitter, anybody who's listened to that show for any length of time knows this. I do not have to make this up. It's documented. You can go look it up. What else? He also spends a lot of time talking on black men who do the same. Then you talk on his past, where he taught guys how to get women. Now, you already admitted you were different years ago. Why can't Tariq get the same treatment? Hate? Now, understand this, man. I don't hate anybody. I hate bullshit. I hate when bullshit is being espoused. I hate when bullshit is being put off as being the truth. I hate when bullshit is being presented as legitimate. I hate bullshit. I don't hate these dudes. I hate the bullshit they putting out. Now, as far as Tariq Nasheed's transition, I don't believe it. I don't believe it to be a real transition, especially when you go on your show and you talk about, you know what, I'm going to go back and chop up some game, man. We got to talk about, you know, these pimp hoe relationships and stuff like that. If you listen to his show, people still call that dude's show for these relationship advice type of those relationship advice type of segments. He's tried to move away from a little bit of that where it's about money. It's about money. Now, the hustle is, instead of talking about these black relationships and getting these dudes to pay attention to him to figure out how to have sex with beautiful women, the hustle is now like, yo, I'm going to have these people buy all these Hidden Colors movies with this cherry-picked history and these pseudo-intellectuals like Umar Johnson to a certain degree. I'm going to use these movies to propagate hate against homosexuals. Well, there's a segment of one of those Hidden Colors films where he says that the slave masters used to have sex with the strongest slave, the strongest buck. And he broke him down and he had sex with him in order to emasculate him in front of the rest of the black, the slaves. And that, like, if you listen, like, if you can watch these, though, you can watch these episodes, man. You can watch these shows. They'll say shit like, white people made black people homosexual for population control. They say this silly shit. Umar Johnson says this silly shit. Tariq Nasheed has said this silly shit. They use homosexuality for population control of black people. Well, guess what, man? Homosexuality has been here for time immemorial. They talk about this shit even in the Bible. Are we really saying that white people introduced homosexuality to black people and that somehow homosexuality isn't like that there is no such thing as a black homosexual who wasn't affected by white people or molestation? These are the messages that come across from these dudes. You can listen to their literature. You can read their literature. You can watch their videos. The shit is documented. It's all out here. I'm not making this up, bruh. I'm not making this up. So when it comes to Tariq Nasheed, man, I simply do not believe that his transition into black history, black historian and black knowledge is legitimate. I don't believe it to be legitimate, especially when you continue to dibble and dabble into the shit that you said you're trying to get away from. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So here's another thing. Here's another thing that he had to say. I had the least knowledge about, and yet you let all of this shit with Umar Johnson and my supposed hate for Umar Johnson. You have the least amount of knowledge about him, but you let off with this shit and my supposed hate for Umar Johnson. Like I said, I hate bullshit. That's what I hate. Bullshit. Umar Johnson espouses bullshit, sprinkles in a little truth so that the bullshit goes over better. It's still bullshit. You polish a turd, still a turd. Let's see. I have the least knowledge about. I agree the school thing is not right, but that alone isn't going to make me hate everything else. I didn't say you had to hate everything else. And this is the thing, and I've said this before on the show. I hope you were listening when I said this, but I will say this again. When it comes to Umar Johnson, a lot of people who support Umar Johnson will say, yeah, that's fucked up, but he's speaking the truth about this here. And the danger in that is that you allow for the bullshit to just kind of float around. It goes unchecked. It goes unchallenged because you picked out one thing or two things out of the message that you liked. And the funny thing about it is, like I said before, nobody is arguing that we should uplift the black family. Nobody is arguing that there's an assault on black boys when it comes to education. Nobody is arguing this whatsoever. But when it comes to homosexuality, and he doesn't support it, and he believes that they could be converted if they have therapy sessions with him, when it comes to the fact that he says that 90% of homosexuals are only homosexuals because they were molested by someone else, by pedophilia, further propagating that stereotype that people are gay because they were messed with as kids, making it dangerous for homosexuals to even be around other people because they believe that these homosexuals are going to fuck with their kids. That's the shit. That's the shit. That's the bullshit. And if we allow that sort of shit to go unchecked, then it becomes natural. It becomes a part of it becomes a natural way of things. And then no, all of this progress that we're saying that we want for people and black people and like and black people, period. All of it kind of it never happens because we allow for this marginalization to continue. It never happens. And just because of your obvious bias against anybody that says anything at all against a black woman, I'm not going to believe you on that part when it comes to Umar Johnson. Now, we could talk about Umar Johnson's supposed celibacy, and then it came out that he was messing around with a, you know, with a stripper. You can go back and look at videos where Umar Johnson kind of talks over sisters who don't necessarily agree with him. As a matter of fact, I played one for you. He didn't even bother to answer that woman's question when she asked about the accountability of where the monies were going for that school that he says he's building. You can go back to that Roland Martin video where he was talking to that sister and basically dismissing everything that sister was saying when he was asking her questions and she was giving him answers and he was just totally dismissing all of it and moving the goalposts while doing so. You don't have to believe me. The shit is out there for you to see, man. I don't have to make this stuff up. Not once have I heard you talk about black women that disrespect black men and heard you talk, and starting this swirling movement. Okay. So you worry about black men being disrespected by black women when black women can walk up the street by themselves and not be harassed by a brother. When black women tell dudes, like, you know what's funny, man? Like, I talk about like rape, like I've talked about rape culture and stuff like that. You know, you ever notice how like it's like there's a lot of women who've been sexually abused or sexually assaulted, and like out of all these women who have had this happen to them, nope, like you never heard like a rapist come out and say, like, yeah, I did that. We got all this rape going on and no rapist to take account for any of it. I talk about shit like with R. Kelly and trolling around schools, man, trying to find him a young thing that he could take advantage of. You worried about black women disrespecting black men? When ironically, when black women are being killed by the police, how often do you see brothers speaking up on those issues whatsoever? When those sisters was out there telling people to say her name, when Sandra Bland was killed, say her name, demanding that their names be spoke. And it wasn't just Sandra Bland. It was Renisha McBride. It was Corinne Gaines. Some of these same brothers who talk about black women not having their back and not respecting them, guess who's out there on the Black Lives Matter movement making sure that everybody knows the names of all the brothers who've been killed by the police out there in the streets. And you know who's talking shit about them very same black women? Tariq Nasheed, Umar Johnson, going out of their way to say that, yo, this movement is being funded by George Soros. It ain't a real thing. Black homosexuals are running this movement. It ain't got nothing to do with black folks. These same niggas are going out of their way to discount black movements led by black women on behalf of yo black ass. The same women. Black women have our back on a whole hell of a lot of shit. And brothers are falling by the wayside when it comes to uplifting sisters in the same way. We all falling short, bruh. So miss me with this one. You can walk down the street right now and not have to deal. You're not worried about nobody taking your booty when you're walking down the street, are you? You're not worried about that. You could probably handle yourself, man. You walk down the street, you head nod a brother, and you keep it moving. You're not worried about that whatsoever. A sister has a totally different experience with walking down the street by herself. You know how many women walk around the street with their headphones on so that they can pretend that they don't hear these niggas trying to holler at them? And if they don't say hi, or if they say, or if a nigga like, yo, why ain't you smiling? And if she don't say nothing back to this nigga, like, yo, fuck you, bitch. You dealing with that? Huh? Are you dealing with that? Matter of fact, let me see, because I got a whole bunch of tabs going on right now. Are you dealing with that? So this whole idea of black women disrespecting black men, when, like, honestly, dude, I have very little time and very little patience for that particular argument when I'm seeing so much of black dudes falling short when it comes to protecting and upholding black women. I ain't got the patience for this little argument you got right here. What else? Shea Butter Twitter is for black women on Twitter that only shit on black men. Is that what you get? See, it's funny how these terms come up, man. Shea Butter Twitter, that's a Tariq Nasheed term as well, man. Like, it's funny how these terms come up. Like, Shea Butter Twitter is actually black women speaking on behalf of black women about the bullshit that they're dealing with. And because maybe you are perpetuating some of the bullshit that they're talking about, you might be in your feelings about it a little bit. I've seen where it says, like, you know, they'll say, like, black men are trash and shit. I see that a lot. You know, you know what's funny? I don't get offended. I don't get offended at all. You know why? Because they ain't talking about me. And every now and again, they just might be. It might be some shit that I'm doing. They're like, yo, yeah, I've been guilty of that. Maybe I should check myself. You ever thought of that? So, like, these names that you've given these women for, like, just speaking up on their experiences, women in America, black women particularly, and you worried about whether or not your manhood is being disrespected by black women and they choosing to marry outside of their race. Like, you know how many brothers been marrying outside of the race and ain't nobody said shit? It's kind of like a given. Kanye West gets on the record to talk about when he get put on, he leave your ass for a white girl, and then actually does it, and nobody really trips out on it. It's just like a matter of fact. You worried about swirling? Brothers been swirling for a motherfucking while, bruh. The NBA is full of niggas that's swirling. Black women didn't start that shit. What else, man? They do all they can to destroy. And Span, you just need to know how to keep it honest. That's the one thing I will do on this mic is keep it honest all the way. I have yet to get on this mic and just start talking some shit that I didn't believe in. Everything I say on this mic is some shit that I believe in. Everything. I can care less if you hate them, but don't get on the air and spew half-truths and lies. When you find a lie, bro, let me know. When you find a lie, let me know. I'm sure everything I've said, man, is documented. You can go back and look this shit up. I'll probably even on the show, if you go back into on the website and look at the show notes, or if you look at some of the videos that I've used while doing the show, everything I've said, man, I got a reference for it. I don't just pull this shit out my ass, man. Can't make an hour show just pulling shit out your ass. You know how difficult that is to be talking on the mic by yourself for over an hour and just have to talk? You think I'm making shit up on the way? No, nigga, I gotta have a fucking reef. I gotta have somewhere to go from there. I'm not pulling this out of my ass, man. He says, and the guy who said THC makes black men feminine and black women masculine. Now, that was crazy. Most with half a brain can see that. You know what? He rolls around in some of the same circles that Umar Johnson and Tariq Nasheed do. Now, if you can see that this dude is halfway crazy saying some silly shit like that, but you are turning a blind eye to some of the other shit that these other motherfuckers are talking about, then what's that saying about your radar on the bullshit, man? They operate with this nigga the same way. They endorse his message the same way. Umar Johnson goes on and on about the effeminization of the black man. You don't think that Umar Johnson endorses the shit that Wesley Muhammad was talking about? That shit is interlinked, bruh. It's interlinked. This is why they all in the special HOTEP unit. This is why they all in there. All of that shit is linked. It says, but let's see, what else? But don't take crazies like that and use them to put down all that speak on blackness. I don't take that and speak down to all that speak up on blackness. What I think you should really understand is that, yo, although they have a black perspective, that they don't speak for the all of blackness. I'm a black man. My opinion about a whole lot of shit is a hell of a lot different than theirs. Now, that doesn't mean that my opinion is all of blackness. But I'm speaking to that shit that they talk about specifically about black people and why some of it is bullshit and why some of it is dangerous and why some of it should be cast aside. That makes you no different than whites that call all blacks thugs and criminals because of a few bad apples. I didn't say all, just them. Just them. You are completely off on this subject, so stop trying to come off as if you know more than the majority of your audience. I never said that I know more than the majority of my audience. But what I will say is this, that the people who have been listening to the Span Report over the last few years, if they've stayed here, it's because they value my opinion. Some of them may agree with what I say. Some of it, not all of it. Some of them may agree with more of what I say than others. But it's not about whether or not I know more than my audience. I'm willing to learn, dude. I've been doing that on the mic for over, I've been doing this 6-7 years now, man. I learned a lot while doing this shit. I've been introduced to people that I wouldn't necessarily have been introduced to doing this. So it's not about me knowing more than my audience. It helps to be knowledgeable about the shit that I'm talking about if I'm going to get on the mic. But it's not about me knowing more than my audience. I respect my audience. I respect my audience to listen to me and take from it what they will. Hopefully, I'm not misunderstood. And that's part of the reason why I'm speaking to you on this episode right now. Like, I've been, how long have we been recording right now? I've been on this mic an hour and 22 minutes responding to just you. Because I want to make sure it's known that I want to make sure that I'm motherfucking understood in everything that I'm saying. Everything. I don't want these motherfucking misconceptions about nothing about me, about what I believe in, and what I talk about here on this show. Nothing. But if you want to keep it gutter and insult people, don't get upset and kick folks out if they do the same to you. Now, you're still a part of the group. I haven't kicked you out. I'm not being gutter with you. I haven't insulted you. I've taken exception to quite a few things that you had to say about me and the show and what I represent and my integrity. I've taken a bit of an exception to that. But understand this, bruh. Like, at the end of the day with this show, at the end of the day, hold on. What's it say? I'm glad most of your audience knows you're full of shit. Guy can have 1,000 shows and in one show for 10 seconds say Empire is wrong for black people. He is all of a sudden teaching respectability politics. Okay, man. Whatever. Whatever, man. You take from this what you will. But at the end of the day, know that when you listen to the Span Report, you're getting what I actually think and how I feel about shit. There's no bullshit coming from me whatsoever. Everything that I've said, I provided you with facts. You can go back into, you can listen to the archives. Every last episode of the Span Report, 171 to 1, 171 episodes, you can go back and listen to them. They all free, man. They all free. You can go back, they're tagged too. If you want to hear what I've said about Umar Johnson over the years, all you got to do is go to thespanreport.com, type in Umar Johnson's name, and every episode about that, it's up there. If you want to hear what I had to say about Boyce Watkins, every episode that Boyce Watkins, where I talked about him, it's on there. Go ahead and type his name in the Span Report. You just find it. I don't have to bullshit you. I don't have to bullshit anybody, man. When I get on this mic, I'm getting on this mic and I'm talking about what I feel. I'm talking about what I reserve. I'm talking about what I'm thinking. And everything that I'm talking about, I believe in what I say when I'm saying it. I don't have to bullshit you or anybody else. So let's make that clear. So if you think I'm full of shit, then by all means, man, go ahead. Think I'm full of shit. But you know what? It's a whole lot of other motherfuckers who don't think that I'm full of shit. It's a whole lot of other people who maybe appreciate what it is that I do here. And we're going to wrap it up here. Because I've been, I mean, shit, this is a long episode considering the fact that we just talking about shit that you had to say. So yeah, man, I'm going to get out of here. But before I do, let me remind you how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Call the show live while we're doing this here on Crowdcast. And I'll respond to those voicemail messages right here live on the show. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. And of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. You can join the fan page, man. Not the fan page. You can join the Facebook group. The Span Report Facebook group, man. You can join the Facebook group. Be a part of these discussions that we have here. Right? Be a part of that over at the Facebook fan page. Oh, I'm sorry, not fan page. The Facebook group for the Span Report. Go ahead and join that. You can also go to thespanreport.com and look up all the old episodes where I talk about all this other shit that we talked about tonight. You can go there. You can vote in the polls. Do you think I'm misrepresenting these dudes? Umar Johnson, Tariq Nasheed, Boyce Watkins. Do you think I'm misrepresenting these dudes when I talk about them on the Span Report? Go ahead and vote in the poll, man. It'll be on this episode. Go ahead and vote in the poll on thespanreport.com and put that out there. Let me know. Do you think I'm misrepresenting these niggas? Go ahead and vote in that poll. Go ahead and leave a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher. The 5-star reviews get read here on the podcast, man. So go ahead and do that. It's very much appreciated for those of you who go ahead and do that. And for all of your Span Report needs, at the end of the day, go to thespanreport.com, man. Everything's there. Everything, the podcast, videos to the podcast, all of the podcasts from episode 1 to 171, all of them there, man, at thespanreport.com. So, yeah, I got to get out of here. It's late. I ain't even ate my damn dinner. And I know my wife is probably annoyed as fuck right now that I'm in here recording. This wasn't even scheduled tonight. But, yeah, I got to go. So until next time, fam, peace.